The Lounge Plus Podcast, the home of contemporary art discussion. This discussion is made possible by the National Arts Council.
Greetings, welcome, and wamkile kile to everyone joining us for this pilot Lounge Plus podcast hosted at the AVA Gallery, Church Street in Cape Town. We're all very comfortable here in a beautiful space. Two artists joining me today, Bruce Bowale and Kumisa Fila, creators of a two-man exhibition called Legai Kaya Letu. Welcome to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to start talking about this exhibition that, as I see it, is all about a longing for the past. It's all about times long ago, almost homesickness. Would that be right?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
You both come from very different backgrounds. Bruce, how did your background influence the exhibition that we see here today?
Well, in a very huge extent, thinking back that I was born in Limpopo, and for a couple of years, up until maybe I was seven, I was relocated to go and live in Gauteng, and that is Pretoria. So a lot of change has really, you know, impacted me right by that time. And actually having to start, you know, being exposed to a different environment, making new friends, and just having to really learn at an early age how language is really an important tool. So communication really started to play, you know, the most in my life. So, yeah.
And Kumisa?
Basically, I was born here in Cape Town. I grew up here in Cape Town, like, till when I was old, like, around about 18 years old. So, basically, what's happening is this, like, where my parents come from, it's quite hard for me when I go back home, and then people would tend to say that, hey, you're not from here, you don't know the rules of here, you're not a man, you're not a Xhosa, you come from a township. So, basically, also, my exhibition speaks about a place where it was called Mtsalane, where it kind of was like kind of colonized, and then they broke this village, and then they created a dam in the past where my dad grew up. So it kind of motivated me in a way that there's a huge history that is hidden, because basically as black South Africans, most of us, like the Xhosas, don't have like a solid history. We don't have books. We always tell like small stories when we are like sitting around with our families and all that stuff.
Now, have you two ever worked together before? I mean, did you know each other?
We knew each other, you know, as digitalists, you know, helps everybody to connect. But yeah, we knew each other before the exhibition. I think we had a really extensive time of getting to know each other, I think for like 3 months before our show could hit. So, yeah.
So what was the discussion when all of a sudden you two, as you've never really met before, now have to do an exhibition together? What were you talking about?
It's always about coincidence, you know, like whereby you meet someone and then you're like, oh wow, I'm sharing actually the same history with you. And then that could like, that was the strong thing about us too, because we're like sharing this one goal and kind of like, yeah, there. Yeah.
Bruce, let's talk a little bit about your stuff now first. What can you describe, maybe try and describe what we can see here at the exhibition?
What you can see here from the exhibition, of course, it's two-dimensional works that are on show. So I'm occupying the walls and Kumisa is a sculptural artist. So within my work, you know, I speak about, you know, well, I categorize my theme under the topic of nostalgia, you know, that sentimental vantage for longing for things of the past. So within my work, I work with text and as well as drawings. So I work with ink as well as conte.
I want to talk to you about those words, because that's what I found really interesting. So it's a painting, but in the background, you've torn pages from books.
Yes, definitely.
Which is quite interesting. Yeah. Is there a story to these books? Where did they come
from?
Well,
definitely they are attached to it, because, you know, the books that, the text that you read from there, well, these are literature books, and these are books that I've acquired, you know, from years to years, and these are books that are actually from home. So the text that you see, they are written in my mother tongue, Sepedi, and as well as the English text, these are books that I also acquired during my high school times. So the Sepedi text that I've used there, these are books that actually my uncles and my mothers that they have been taught by. So I thought to actually really take that, because what encourages me to make my work is also taking inspiration from the daily livings, especially particularly of children and as well as elders, because, you know, every day we learn. So that's what I love the most. And
what I found quite interesting about it is, because I'm curious, I want to read the script. Mm-hmm. So I get really close to read what it says. And then as you pull back again, the drawing of the child or whatever it is sort of comes back into focus. Yes, it's a really interesting way of looking at a painting, for want of a better word.
Definitely. I really wanted to touch into that because, you know, for as how we view an artwork, you know, as audience or as anybody, any person in particular, it speaks to you in different ways. So taking this whole compositions of, you know, as you can see, there's an activity that is always involved within every artwork. So, you know, either one might probably love, you know, the composition of what is really happening in the picture, and also one would love to associate what's really happening with the text. So how does the work actually speak to you?
It's quite interesting because words always mean one thing. They're quite stiff and rigid.
Yeah.
And whereas painting, of course, is completely the opposite.
It's completely
so you've
different.
Got these two different things working with each other the whole time. I really liked it very much.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely that's one of the things that I tried to touch into. So with these figures also, these are actually figures from, you know, going back home in my community, you know, capturing these moments that happen, you know, on the streets at home. So
yeah, there's lots of kids playing with toy cars that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And also it also touches back to my history and as how I grew up for, you know, like I said, for one part of my life, I grew up in the rural village. And then the other part of my life for where I spent more, you know, when I started to really, you know, love literature and stuff, that was when I was in Pretoria.
When you tore those pages, they look like they've been torn out of books. Mm-hmm. Did you choose specific is the text important, what is written on there?
It is. Well, it is because the books, these texts, these are poetry books as well as drama books. So it's always about relating it to the context of the text. What does it say and how does it speak to you? So, yeah, as the viewer, you really get to choose. Is it about the visual or is it about the text? So it's just forming that layer of communication at the end of the day.
Chumisa, now you're the sculptor. Yours is quite different. It's very bright.
Yes.
You were inspired. Your father was a welder.
My father is basically a jack of all trades. He did mechanics, he did welding, so am I, because I learned from him. So basically my sculptures are like made out of old materials, like such as like car parts. So all of these parts actually kind of they're also my dad's stuff, because my dad, you know, living in a community whereby you have to like feed your kids by making a work, like kind of he was a scrap metal guy, so he used to sell scrap metals. So basically I took all of his scrap metals, so I'm like, Dad, I want to use this in my show so that I can make sculptures. So he was like shouting at me, what are you doing but it ended up being end up being good at the end, you know.
I find your work, your sculptures, quite, I don't want to say aggressive, but they're not easy to look at.
Yes.
They're prickly and they almost shout a bit at you.
Mm.
What does that say about your childhood or your nostalgia?
Basically, more of this, it's like relates to my dad strongly. It kind of like, because my dad and I are like the one person, you know, whereby my dad grew up in a way that wasn't like successful, because he was also wanting to be like a successful artist or a mechanic or something like that. So like there is a myth behind all of this, these artworks. So like when the dam was built, as I was saying, it relates to a place where there's a dam in the Eastern Cape, in the Siskei and Alice.
Yeah.
So people died there. So it's kind of like it's hard to not look at, you know, like, but still we want to know it, but people don't want us to see it. But yeah, let's go and take it, you know, let's talk about it, so that it could kind of fade away from the people's memories. Because like as a closer, we have traditions, right? Like the kraal, whereby we have to deal with ancestors, we have to slaughter goats and all of this stuff. So basically by this company destroying the village, it actually kind of destroys a person, you know, like in our culture. So now it's kind of going back there, you know, it kind of haunts you. It kind of, but still we want to know about
that. And your sculptures speak of that.
Yeah.
They're full of, as I said, nails and
yes,
and
yes.
hard, but yes. very bright.
Yeah.
I'm yeah. interested to ask both of you. We're at the end of 2020, like one of the weirdest years ever. Do you think it impacted on how you look at yourself? This weird time that was very long and very short and very strange.
Well, definitely, yeah, it has impacted everybody. With myself, well, you know, as an artist, you know, most of the time you spend your time in the studio. You never really go anywhere much except it's by appointments. Well, that is in my case. But yeah, how has it affected me? I would say I didn't find enough time to really connect. Man, I love connecting with the audience. Well, it has, in another way, it has impacted us. You know, a lot of people, a lot of businesses. So we have all tend to actually shift into the digital storytelling of how do you still show that I'm out there, you know, as an artist, you know. So yeah, we are getting now more used to and highly being dependent to this podcast and, you know, Facebook stories. Yeah, it's social media platforms, things like that.
So Misa, I know you've got a studio that you're very proud of.
Yes.
I've seen pictures. It's beautiful in Masipumelele.
Yes. So
so people couldn't visit.
Yeah. It was actually, but it also kind of affected my processing of on working on my sculptures, because basically at the end there were some changes which happened, you know, like kind of, it was some sort of an inspiration, but still it was like, you know, it's COVID-19, people can't come around, you have to stay inside the studio, and I had to weld. So welding is another thing because of this disease. So like sometimes I couldn't spray my stuff because I couldn't have to like always continuously doing it, because maybe I could get sick. Or the studio, you know, working with metal, it's filthy, it's there, but yeah, I enjoy it, but still for me it was kind of worrying me, because maybe I could get sick. And then
It does make us question
about
ourselves, because things can change so quickly.
Yeah.
Last sort of question for both of you, I suppose. Can you make a living as an artist now? The two of you, you're emerging artists, I suppose. are we there yet?
the vision seems bright. Are we there yet? We're still on our way. We're getting there. There is hope, hopefully. And yeah, can one make a living from being an artist, taking art as a career? Yes, because, I mean, I take it as a profession. It's what I do. It's, yeah, definitely, I believe, I say that you can make a living from being an artist. It's just how seriously do you take yourself and how far do you really want to go with it? There are artists out there who are making a living from, you know, being an artist. And being an artist and getting the revenue, the income, you can, you know, be smart, or you know, simply invest that into, you know, different, you know, revenue streams and survive out of that.
Like a businessman.
Yeah, I'm a creative engineer.
Are you making a living yet?
The thing is this, I get support from colleagues, like such as also the CHR is helping me out at UWC to support me through, like, to pursue my career. So basically You could make a
but
living.
But it's hard.
But it is hard. But
especially as an emerging artist.
Yeah, as an emerging, like for me, it's like, because I'm a religious person, so like it's all about faith. It's like I always pray before, it's part of meditation, you know. So I always pray, and then I'm like, you should be positive about yourself that you could go there, you know. And also like for me, like this is for my first time, and then like I'm meeting like big time artists like Simpiwe Nzube. Like I'm kind of like collaborating with Bruce, you know. So it makes me feel positive about myself that I'm going there. I'm keeping up, you know. Yeah.
Thank you to Bruce Bawale and Khumisa Fihla, creators of a two-man exhibition, Lehai Kayaletu.
Lounge Plus is recorded live at the AVA Gallery in Cape Town, South Africa. Brought to you in partnership with the Association for Visual Art and the National Art Council of South Africa. To hear more, visit our website, ava.co.za.